And we can come in and prepare for a Bible study, but God says, I just need you to pray. I need you to get together in agreement for your a group of believers. How is it that when the Spurs are down and they're about to lose and they could have swept, but I bet you there's a lot more believers praying then, isn't there? Oh, Lord, just let the Spurs win. Just let them win, Lord. Let them win. Let them win. Lord, just help them. Just help them. We'll pray for a sports team, but we won't pray for people to be loosed. We won't pray for people to get healed and delivered. Only if it happens in the church setting. Is that the only time we're supposed to pray? The prayers in which you pray have no restrictions. But if we could gather together, if we could gather together in unity and in agreement, I don't care what kind of militia that wants to stand up and wage war against Jesus, because that's what it is. This is just another giant that is just raised up. And I know by faith, we'll cut the head off of this giant. I don't care how far they are away from us. But we can send a word. We can send a word. A word of hope. Now let the angels manifest in their very presence. That the eyes of the strong men are open and the hearts of their understanding are open. That they will see the angels that are for them. And have an understanding of who they persecuted. Watch this. Why do you persecute me? And they saw Jesus standing there and had already gone to be with the Father. Why? Because those that come and persecute the Word of God and those that believe in the Word of God, He will show up on their behalf. Now let's make this personal. Let's bring it back home. Let's bring it into your living room and into your bedroom. And in your living room is where everybody gathers, where people come together, and where you will entertain people. But how about bringing it home into that living room where you can say, I, in this house, will serve the Lord. And make a declaration that your house is the house of God. So that people know there's something particular about that house. Then in times of need and times of trouble, they can run to a house. Because they know there's something special and there's something peculiar about that house. I know that if I show up, they'll pray. If I knock, they will answer. They will invite me in and they will break bread with me. There's a lost people out there that even live right next to you. But they don't even know that you're saved. They hear all the fighting that goes on in your homes. They know all the stuff that you're doing in the backyard, the front yard, in the garage, and everything else. But will they know that you are saved? We're still in the living room. Now let's get into the bedroom. Because in the bedroom where we think that nobody's watching, nobody's looking, nobody even knows what's going on in the bedroom, is where everything begins to formulate because of what we say in our bedroom. And close the door and lock the children out. But what's going on behind closed doors still begins to send waves on the outside of those doors. Begins to cause some chaos in the home. Some in the marriage. Some in the children. Even in your own jobs. Relationships. Oh, it is time for the church to take its rightful position. Let everybody know that you're saved. Question is, do you know you're saved? We've got to get into that place that it's all about Jesus. And not if it feels good, then it's good. We can break it down real street Every time I got high and got on drugs, it felt good. Forgot all my troubles and worries, but when I came off of my high, they were still right there. Spent a lot of money. It was my escape. And guess what happens with the escape? It comes right back. And it faces you as soon as you come off of your high. As soon as you come off of that high. Oh, you remember me? Oh, you just try to forget about me for a little bit. Uh-huh. Oh, I'm right here. I didn't leave. Your troubles don't leave when you try to run away from them. But what happens is that Jesus is saying, if you just try me, try me. Just try me one time. And I don't mean just go to church one time. I don't mean go to the altar just one time and get saved. I'm talking about really try him. Try him to the point where you're sold out for Jesus. There's nothing else you can do but just trust him. Live for him. Let him live through you. When he tries to tell you, will you trust me? Well, it all depends, God. It just depends. It just depends on what you're about to tell me, and then I'll tell you if I trust you. Y'all don't have a relationship like that with Jesus? Every now and then, oh, Lord, use me, but just not at about 8:30 because the Spurs are going to play. So you got up until 8. Use me, Lord, just use me. I pray for the gift of the Holy Spirit to come upon me so I can be used. Before 8:30. Spurs are going to win today. So I got to be there and pray them through. Use me when it's convenient, Lord. Not to you, but to me. Have you ever noticed that when God wants to do something in you, it's never convenient for you? I didn't see no real responses there. I ask you again, haven't you ever noticed when God really wants to use you, it's not convenient for you? It's not even when you're ready to be used.
Oh, what's this?
Oh. I've been messing up just to mess up because I've been all fed up. But God wants to use you at that very moment to see, do you still trust me? Still trust me even when you don't believe. Even when you don't believe, are you going to lay hands on that one that you know that is sick? And then you're going to doubt whether or not it's going to happen. You're going to pray for a blessing when you're the one going through the storm. You're going to pray for them to come out of their storm, but you're still right damn in the middle of yours. It says, what I'm going to do is that I'm going to step right into your very spirit, and I'm about to fan the flame. I'm going to fan the flame. How many of you have ever gone camping, you know, or build a fire? And you got to put that kindling, whether it's the little twigs, the dry stuff first. And then you put the logs. You got to start, in other words, you got to start small, build up. What has happened is the church got built up with fire. And the fire was burning real good, but they didn't put more logs back in the fire. They've been running off the old flame. But if you notice that every time that the fire would start to dwindle down, there'd be a lot of ash. I said ash with H at the end. H. Ash that covered up the heat and covered up the flame. But if you would just blow on it just a little bit. Oh, Jesus. Just a little bit. The ash that gets all around that will be blown off. And the fire will begin to intensify once again. And you'll realize that the flame hasn't completely gone out. You just let the old stuff lay on top of your fire. That'll preach all by itself, Bonnie, right there. You just let the old stuff lay on top of your flame. So we need the wind to come in. and to blow. So to blow some stuff off. That's him fanning the flame. Any particular reason why we have this kind of cool weather that's happening right now? Huh? Call it El Nino, El La Nina, whatever the Ninas. All kinds of weird weather patterns, correct? Craziness. Just all kinds of stuff happening. I was having a wonderful meal last night. Wonderful. I had empanadas. Y'all don't know about this stuff. No. Y'all think you know, but you don't know. Some empanadas with some rice, and then what we do this meat, but it's called the milanesa. I'm going to get y'all real hungry. I haven't eaten all day today. I fasted today, so I'm going to make y'all hungry, and I'm going to get hungry too. I'm going to tear it up when I get home. This milanesa is some thin meat that you slice. Don't stop playing. Keep playing. I'm getting in that groove. And you just cut it up real thin, and then you start frying it up, and then the whole house just smells. And that empanada is filled with a special kind of meat. It's called the Holy Ghost meat. Now watch this. After I ate, I was like, man, I'm good. I had me some beans that went along with the rice. Oh, I was good. I mean, good. I put up my plate. I started washing dishes. Get upstairs. You don't feel good. I feel... I said, but what happened? He said, something blew in. Something blew in. Sometimes the enemy will blow things in your direction, and you don't understand why it showed up. And you were celebrating, you were having a good old time, and all of a sudden something blew in and you were unaware. Hey. And it begins to affect you. And you try to diagnose the symptoms, but you can't quite figure it out. You start going down a checklist of binding this and binding that. Canceling this and canceling that. And guess what? Ain't nothing happening. What happened, God? Something blew in. Something blew in. But then I heard the Spirit of the Lord tell me this afternoon. I tried to go to the gym this morning. That didn't happen. Got here early. I started studying, started worshiping, started doing the YouVersion app and everything. Had to change it like 3 times. I said, Lord, what are you telling me? He says, I'm about to blow in your direction now. Your direction. I'm about to shake some things violently. Violently. No, I said violently. I'm going to shake it violently. And those that are truly rooted. Oh, watch this. Truly rooted in my word and in my purpose. Will we be able to stand even when the winds come? But you got to let your roots go down. Don't take this root system and only go sideways and not down. Because what is sideways is easily plucked up. But if you let God... Let God teach you how to root yourself. Root yourself where He's called you to be planted. Planted. Not potted, but planted. Not potted where you can get up and move whenever you want. But planted, meaning you are vulnerable to the elements. The time that any plant is transferred over from a pot into the soil, it is the time, what's this, my God? It's the most vulnerable time for the root system that can die in that process. Kind of like when you're about to give birth, you're closer to death at giving life. You're about to bring forth life, but you're the closest thing to death at that very moment. And I heard the Spirit of God said, I'm about to get my church again planted as opposed to potted. There's some things that I got to shake off. There's some things that I got to bring into order. And as I bring it into order, some things are about to shake violently. And in this violent shaking that's about to take place, the things that are the old that were once on are going to be shaken off. And a true deliverance is coming unto my church, says God. A true deliverance. Hey. The things of old have had us bound. It's got to be this way. We've got to act this way. We got to do it this way. But what I want to do is freshen new things. Can you perceive it not? Get out of the way, church. And let God be God. Let Him be God. It's His church. It's His bride. But we want to get in the way. We want to steady the ark. We want to be like Perez, us, and trying to reach out and say, no, God, it's got to be this way. But I hear it and I read in Scripture by the Holy Spirit. He says, put your hand on the thing that's not God and you too will die. You ain't going to die to the flesh. You're going to die to the spirit. You will desensitize yourself of the true move of God. Because you manufacture a move. Woo! Woo, Jesus, help me, Lord. Jesus. But if my spirit has called you to just follow. Follow. How do you follow? With a humble heart. A humble heart. A renewed mind and a renewed spirit. To follow after God. Revivals take place, and the first key element is prayer. Secondly, obedience. What's this? Thirdly, submitting to authority. Guess what kills it? Guess what kills that revival? Flesh. Flesh. Flesh gets in the way of things to stop the true move of God. I don't want to miss. How about you? I got enough flesh on me to ruin the rest of my life. So I know I got to constantly put myself on that cross. Crucify me, not Christ. Crucify me. Let me die in my flesh. Let me remain humble in spirit. Let me understand one thing, God. It's got to be you and not me. If it's you, God, we'll see true healing. True deliverance. A true revival. Where the surrounding area where revival breaks, the lost begin to get changed before they even come into a church service. Because you change the atmosphere of the territory and region that you're in. Because the principality and the rulers in that area are getting driven out. So the stronghold that was once there has been done away with. And all of a sudden, freedom comes in, and they don't even know why. They're beginning to just weep as they're getting ready to shoot up that heroin, shoot up that crack. They don't know why they're beginning to weep, and then they just throw it away. Something touched me, and I don't know what it is. And guess what the Spirit of God will do? Get to that place. That's when the harvest comes in. Can we have workers for the harvest? Can we have workers? You don't work to receive the blessing. You work because He mandated us to do it. To go out and get the harvest of souls. Well, I'm not called to do all kinds of evangelism. He says, go ye all. Well, that's not my anointing. Go ye all. Well, God didn't call me to do all kinds of children's ministry. Go ye all. Jesus was from Texas. Y'all. Go y'all. Go y'all. Highways and byways. He's looking for a church. A bride. Are you willing to be that bride? Say, God, use me. Use me. Even when I'm getting ready to throw in that towel, use me. Because that'll help me pick that towel right back up. Because I need to know that even when I mess up, you're still right there to help me get through it. He wants to reach out to people that are dying and hurting. He wants to heal the sick. Cleanse the leper. He wants to raise the dead. He wants to cast out devils. But everything I just quoted you was wrong. He said, you go. You go. And cast out devils. Heal the sick. Raise the dead. Cleanse the leper. He didn't say I, he said you. He said you. You know what your portion is? To do it. To do it. How do I do it? Just do it. Lord, I'm willing. Are you willing? Are you willing? Lord, I'm willing. Lord, I yield to you. Do you yield? Lord, I yield to you. Lord, I trust you. Do you trust him? Lord, I trust you. Do you believe? Lord, I believe. Now have your way. Have your way. It's simple. Our head messes it all up. Because our head has a tendency to lose sight of the Spirit, because your Spirit's here, not here. When this gets in the way, this is nowhere near. But when the Spirit is lined up to the heart of God, you begin to see the heart of God be displayed. And we're going to see it. Oh, we're going to see it. But we first have to understand, we need Him to do it. Amen. Mr. Allen, go and turn on the lights, please. Well, I pray that you have an understanding of God's heart. Because I believe that God wants to show us that He needs us to be in position. If you would, I want to do a quick little study with you, and it's what the Lord had placed in my heart. It's about the third live event on YouVersion that I did. And this is the last one that's on there, so this is the one you're going to see that I'm going to see. I want you to go, if you would, to the live version. If you have it on any of your devices, your iPhones or your iPads or your droids, whatever, go to your YouVersion. It's going to look for live event. Type in the zip code 78249 or the House of Manna, and it'll come up. And it'll give you the notes there that I want to discuss and share with you. And I believe this is what God is showing us right now in this very hour. Under the live event on the YouVersion app, have y'all gotten it there? If you don't have it, it's all right. I want you to go to Acts 4:23. Acts 4:23 through verse 31. Acts 4:23 through 31. I'm going to read out of the English Standard Version. And if you have it, just follow along. Gives you the opportunity to take notes. A couple of questions that I have on there for you. And if you're in need of prayer, you can go ahead and put that on there. We'll keep that in prayer for you, but we'll pray for you here as well. Now, Acts 4, verse 23 begins reading this way. When they were released, they went to their friends and reported that the chief priests and their elders had said to them. And when they heard it, they lifted their voices together to God and said, Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them, who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, Why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. For truly in this city they were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. And now, Lord, look upon the threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness, while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, they placed in the place in which they had gathered together was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. Father, I thank you for the reading of your word. I thank you that it's true today, yesterday, and forever. I thank you that your word, Father God, penetrates and allows us to let our roots to grow deeper into the very soil of the kingdom through your word, through your principles, and most importantly, Father, through the guiding of the Holy Spirit. Father, I thank you right now in Jesus' mighty name, and all of God's children said amen. I want to begin to take you on verse 31. It says, and when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. Do you think it's necessary for us to gather? Why is it important for the church to gather? You know? Power of agreement? What else? Strength in numbers. Okay, that's good. What else? Fellowship. Okay, what else? Accountability. I like that. It's good. What else? I'm sorry? God is in the midst of us. Okay. Anything else? To know we're not alone. That's real good. Because sometimes, how much you feel, sometimes you're like, I'm going to do something. It's just me. And then you come into the church, there's like 7 or 8 of us going to do the same thing. You're like, wow. It's not just me. Now, you ain't that special. Everybody is going to go through it too. Because you know what? We think that we're special. We're special. We don't need to gather. We don't need to gather because I can have church at home, or I can have church on my phone, church on my iPad, church on the road. I can have church in my car. I can have church here. The reality is that we need to gather together for a reason. When we gather together in church, there's something that takes place. It's called the corporate anointing that is different than your own individual anointing. You may be anointed and appointed as an individual, but the corporate anointing is far greater than your individual anointing. The reason for that is Jesus himself went, as it was a custom on every Sabbath, into the synagogues.
He did it.
And it wasn't until he went in that he challenged them by stating out of the scrolls of Isaiah that I've been anointed to preach. What was that, sir? The good news. In other words, what was being preached before wasn't good news. But I've been anointed to preach the good news. And so today, this scripture is fulfilled in your very eyes. And then that's when the church began to challenge him. Now Jesus was no longer going to be welcome in the synagogues no more. Because he began to do some things that were a little bit different than what the synagogue was teaching. Teaching the law of Moses. Teaching how you had to live by the law in order to have the right standing in God. And Jesus came. He says, what I have done, I'm coming to fulfill the law of Moses. And so that the greatest commandment that you will have is to love God and to love your neighbor also. And here's how the enemy will keep you from gathering. He'll get your enemy to become your neighbor. Oh, yeah. Because you come into church, that person so-and-so, they don't like me. How do you know? I can just feel it. That's the wrong feeling. You just think because they didn't hug you the right way. They didn't look at you the right way. Or when you walked in, they just happened to do a, you know, a glance. You know how we do. We're fleshy. The top is nice. I just want to see if the shoes match. And then what you're thinking is, oh, they don't like what I'm wearing. We just want to make sure it's matching. That's all. Just it looked good. We're going to give you a compliment, but you got all offended by it because you just looked up and down. What? You don't like what I'm wearing? So now you think, oh, they don't like me. They don't like me. The enemy will come in and make your neighbor your enemy. When God says, forsake not the assembling of the saints together. Forsake not. Don't get it twisted. That don't mean that you're going to hell just because you don't go to church. That's not what it means. Oh, you don't get cursed because you're not in church. That's not what it means. It's not what it means at all. That's not a doctrine that I'm trying to teach you. If you don't go to church, you ain't going to get blessed. That's not what I'm telling you. I'm telling you you're not going to get challenged. Well, Pastor, how can you say that? No, you're not going to get challenged in the Word. You'll be challenged out there for real. But you're going to get challenged in the Word, which should be hopefully in the right way, be challenged in church. Through the Word. Not through the person. The Word. But what happens, the enemy makes you become the judge, and you start judging the person, and you start taking the role of the enemy by being judge, and then you put a fence between the people. And there's not even the Spirit of God. So people are now falling away from church. They don't want to do church no more. Oh, they're hypocrites. Well, there's what the church is for. It's for hypocrites. The bar is for the drunks. Right? Okay. Y'all don't want to talk with me today. Y'all don't want to talk with me. The gym is for people that want to lose weight. You know, I had a good burger at Jim's the other day. That was real good. No, the gym, you know, like Gold's Gym. It's because someone wants to make change. Even though they only go once a month. And then they say that, oh, I'm a member at Gold's Gym. And then when they walk in, hi, is this your first time here? What do you mean? You take my money every month? Yeah, but we don't see you but once a month. So you want to give your tithe to Gold's Gym, but you won't give your tithe to the church. Well, we'll leave that alone. We'll leave it alone. But you don't even use the benefit of Gold's Gym, but you still give your money on time. On time. I think what I'm going to do is when we do membership, I think we need to do membership here, and then we need to have the bank draft and that you sign so that we have tithe come out immediately. That doesn't work that way? Huh? What is this thing I'm filling out? Well, I need your bank account. I need to know when I can have this thing drafted up. If you do it for Gold's Gym, you'll never do it, you know, for the church. I'm just saying people don't want to get so committed to God that way. But we'll spend money in things that we only go like once a month, or actually you haven't gone in about a quarter, you know. It's like 3 months we haven't gone, and then, you know, you get mad because all of a sudden your pants don't fit no more, your clothes don't fit no more, and then you get real mad when you walk into the closet. You start speaking in tongues. It's not the real tongues you want to talk, but you start talking in tongues, and demons start coming out your closet because you can't find anything to wear. Then no one wants to go into the bedroom while you're getting ready just to go to church, because you're fighting with the devil before you get to church, and that's your closet. But if you'd have been fighting with that devil, which is your waistline, a long time ago, and you would have been going to the gym like you said you were going to do, or get up out your bed and just go walk around your neighborhood like you said you were gonna do, but you didn't do it. Even bought the shoes so you could walk. Yeah, you know how we do. We go say, "What to say? Oh, look, I can wear when I go to the gym," and then we don't even use it to go to the gym. We just use it to be around the house. Then we go to HEB and we're wearing our outfit like we went to the gym, but you didn't go to the gym. So when you're running a sister so, "Oh, you went to the gym? I was at the gym today, baby. What were you doing?" I was walking. I had my cardio going on. Why? Because you were just walking on HEB, so you thought you got your cardio on. But what happens is we just have a tendency to want to do things a certain way, but we won't get committed to do it to make the change. Where was I? No. 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 We were there a long time ago. You know, that gym threw me off. No. God wants us committed. He wants us committed. But we won't get committed to do the things if it's not conducive to us. I will only get committed if it fits within my time frame. Because, you know, during the summer, we have to go on vacation. Well, you're not on vacation the whole summer. Your kids may be, but you're not. Well, that's why we didn't go to church. The whole summer? I want to see pictures from that vacation. Wasn't that your backyard? Well, we decided to save money by not giving your tithe. Pastor, this is that message on tithe? No. Your commitment. We gathered together, and when they had prayed is the key, when they had prayed. Not only did they prayed for a certain thing. They prayed for that the people of God would begin to preach with boldness. And in that answered prayer, how was it answered? They were violently shaken. And then they began to speak boldly the good news. In other words, the prayer was answered. But what came? A shaking. Watch this. It says right here. Verse 29 says, "And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness." That was their petition. "While you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus." In other words, even though we're doing the healings, even though we're doing everything that you're telling us to do in your son's name, in Jesus' name, watch this, we want this prayer answered. "And when they had prayed, the place in which they had gathered together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak with the word of God with boldness." Now they continue to speak, but they had just asked for the boldness. When the shaking comes, have you been shook? Has your faith been rocked? Oh, has your hope been deferred? Oh, yeah. Has your blessing had a little hiccup in the get up? Because you're in between blessings, you know? And it's been like that in between for like a decade, you know, because it's been a process. Been a process. I have my ups, I have my downs, I have more downs than I have ups. But when is it that the thing's going to come to pass? It's when you gather and you pray. Oh, yeah. Yeah, he wants you in covenant with him so you can get together and pray. And then when you ask, he'll grant it. But before he grants it, something's going to shake. Is it going to shake your faith? He's going to shake all your religion and all that kind of silliness. They kicked Jesus out the church because of religion. He came to teach them faith, teach them relationship. They kicked him out because he didn't want nothing to do with religion. And what happens with that is that we get hurt. You ever been hurt before? The worst kind of hurt is church hurt. It is. Because you put all kinds of trust in people in the church that should know better, right? Y'all should know better than to be doing something like that, and they're the ones that are doing it the worst. Y'all haven't seen that happen? That hadn't happened to you? Oh, no. Y'all are in a good church because that don't happen here. That don't happen in this house. No, we don't church hurt nobody here. This is the house of God. And God shows up as good, and we don't offend nobody here. We don't get on nobody's nerves. What y'all laughing for? I'm talking truth, right? This is the house of manna? Reaching people in the love of God? Reaching them on out the door, aren't we? With the kind of love that we have. I love you. Y'all miss it? I'm going to show you again. I love you. See Sister So-and-so over there? She just to go to the club. I know she's going to the club. I know she's going to the club. Hey, baby. How you doing? Bless God. You still going through. Shoot. When you going to get over that thing? Oh, that's happening in church. You know, that happens in church. And it hurts the worst in church because you think they should already know better. Or this one, they hide behind. They hide behind their ministry, their position, their title. They hide behind their gift. Preach on, Pat. I am, right? I'm just going, oh, you have me a bad. Okay, watch this. They didn't want to shot me down because it's that. And what happens is we think that because we're gifted, we're talented, we're called. I was chosen. Have you ever had that one say? I was chosen. You special K need to go over there and get a little food with your Fruit Loops. Now look at here. Now watch. And what happens is we get in a church gathering and God is like, yes, reach out to them and love them. But your head gets in the way. And you start judging and you start looking and you start discerning. You ain't discerning. I'm going to use my wife. It's just an example. Right? This is just an example. No, I ain't going to use my wife. I got to deal with this when I get home. Oh, watch this. This is how I do. Example. Church. Okay? Eyes are all puffy. Eyelashes coming off. You've been going through. Let me just pray for you. The Spirit of God says you've been going through a tough season. Watch this. This is the simple one. No, I can't do it on you because you do have some grace. It's just example, Jeff. Got bags under your eyes. You haven't slept. The Lord's going to give you sleep. You're going to be able to learn to sleep tonight. And the Lord's going to change your sleeping habits. And you're going to sleep good tonight. Why? Because you start looking for signs on how to minister. And then what happens is the individual's like, where'd that come from? Actually, I'm doing good. I've been sleeping good. I've had good dreams. I mean, God's been giving prophetic dreams. And you came and tell me, so you're off. And guess what happens to the individual that received that type? Oh, watch this. So upset.
I'm sick and tired of all this kind of prophecy and all kinds of church like this. I'm sick and tired. That's why I don't take off all my eyelashes. I'm about to throw down with you. Been crying. The Holy Spirit just so grieved with you. Crying so hard, my eyes are puffy. You know, grieve the Holy Spirit, and then you come and prophesy. You don't even know. But I love you. You know, see, what happens is that we get in together in the assembling together of the saints, and we come together in prayer. But what happens is the enemy uses that to get on each other's nerves. Why do you think when they prayed, there's something violently shook? To shake some stuff off. Amen. Shake some stuff off. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Watch this. When he uproots. Watch this. This is so good. When he uproots, there's still some dirt on your roots. No, you don't want to hear me. There's still some dirt on you. When he shakes, the dirt starts to come off, and that's when the closest part to your death in the spirit is, because you get too much dirt off of those roots, because the dirt is the nutrients for the plant. Okay, now you as a spiritual child of God, when he uproots you from something that's been in your life, he doesn't take it all the way out. He wants you to see it so you have an understanding. When it comes back, you're able to identify with it, and you don't let it back into your life. But he'll shake it violently for you to have an understanding that it's going to hurt, so you don't go back into that thing. Don't go back into that thing purposely, but I'm getting ready to plant you. And when I plant you, it's going to take you a little bit. Mm-hmm. You're a little bit. But where you were at, you were growing. Oh, you were starting to blossom, had a few blooms, and you went through a couple of seasons, you were doing good. But the place that you were at, you outgrew it. It couldn't contain you no more. Y'all learn how to help me and flow with me. And he had to uproot you. Because if you stayed in that area, if you would have stayed right there in the thing that was containing you, you wouldn't grow no more. You'd only just be maintained. You would only be maintained. That's it. Not growth. And especially not supernatural growth. You'd only be maintained. How many of you are tired of being maintained? Huh? Well, he's about to uproot you. And he's about to plant you somewhere. So into a soil that's rich in the nutrients for your growth. And what he does is he plants you by rivers of living water. Living water, not just any kind of water. Now, I know this for a fact. Not every water is good for you. Drink some stagnant water. Guess what's going to happen? You're going to get sick. Hey. Oh, Jesus. Drink some water that has parasites in it. It'll kill the very root system and the fruit of everything. That's why I got to uproot you and put you somewhere by rivers of living water. Rivers, where it's not one thing that is flowing in your direction, it's more things of resources coming in your direction. And some of these rivers are underneath the surface that you didn't know they were there. And they will begin to water your root system from beneath you to help lift you up so your roots can go deeper. And as your roots go deeper in the things of God, the Holy Spirit is always representative of water. The soil is the kingdom of God. And when the word of God comes forth, it's watering you to make your roots go deeper. But we don't want to be uprooted because we like being comfortable. We don't like to be challenged. We don't like to have things told to us that we don't want to hear, but you need to hear it. The church of God is here to bring correction. Yes, the good news is to tell you, you're out of order. Get in order. That's the good news. That's gospel. That teaches you the right standing with the kingdom of God. And then watch this. Then he'll tell you, now plant yourself. Be still and know that I'm God.
Be still. You ain't God, I'm God. And be still. I will cause you to grow. And then I will take things off of you that you didn't even know were in there. Because in the process of you going deep, I'm going to bring in the nutrients, the things that you need. And when you need that very thing that's going to get you to where you need to go, some things got to be broken off of you. Some things need to get off of you. Be cut off of you. Some relationships need to be cut off. Some things need to tell you, I'm going here. And if you ain't going with me, you're not for me. You're against me. Not everybody is going to want to stand in the soil where he calls you to stand. You've got to stand so that the roots can go deep. Deep. And they try to bring you back. They want to uproot you where God has planted you. And come on back to this place of restriction. To this place that's mobile and easy for you to be moved around, but never get planted. A place where you can hide, not thrive. And the only way you're ever going to grow in God is to be challenged. So the old stuff will fall off. The things that latched on to the roots, you didn't see it in the fruit, but you saw it in the root. It's when the wind came to start shaking you. And you were at the mercy of the hand of God. I'm at the closest point of my death in my spirit, God, because I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know where my destiny's going to go if I stay put in this containment that is not for me. It's been against me. It's only been maintaining, but I don't want to be maintained. I want to flourish. I want to grow. I want to be fruitful. And I want to multiply. You can't multiply in containment. You can only multiply when you're planted in the soil where God said for you to be. Plant yourself and don't move. Then you'll see the fruit. The fruit. Put yourself back in that kind of containment and you'll see that you'll be sustained and maintained, but you won't multiply. And what used to blossom in seasons before are not blossoming anymore. Let them uproot you. Plant you where you need to be. Then the rivers of living water will bring growth to the root system. Will challenge you to grow deeper. And let some things go that need to go. It'll hurt. It'll hurt. I know it'll hurt. I ain't talking to you like I don't know myself. It'll hurt. It won't feel good. But it's good for you. Then God will begin to put. You know why the plants grow after the rain? Because the water is charged by the lightning that brings it. It makes that water, which was once dead, come alive with the nutrients that come down from heaven, down into your very root to make you grow. And you can't just put water that is dead. It's got to be water that is charged. It's got to be water that came from heaven to touch the root, to bring the fruit, to multiply here on earth. We can't be contained.
It can't hold us. We've been trying to maintain for 4 years. It was a blessing in the beginning. Hey, what about Sikamalaba? But when we outgrew it, it became a curse. Because we didn't grow, and we came now, watch this, in direct objection with the commandment to multiply. But you can't multiply in containment. You can only multiply when you've been loosed. Containers can't hold you. You've been contained. You've been restricted. And your roots, watch this, don't go down. They start growing up as opposed to growing deep. Watch this. Follow me. When my blessing was given to me, the manna that was given to me, He gave me a pot, a plant, and He said, don't take it out of the container. Just cut the bottom and let it grow. I'm cutting the bottom of this containment. Watch what He did. He says, cut it in a cross so that the roots will go down wherever you plant it. But the containment will keep it standing up so the roots can go down. In the very plant that was given to me. Oh, Jesus, I didn't see it then, but I see it now. It's a plant that is only for butterflies. The caterpillar will find its way to this very plant. And they're only monarch butterflies. And they will eat, hey, they will eat the leaves of this plant and then wrap itself on the leaf, cocoon itself to bring birth. That when the butterfly hatches, it has for itself its own food from which it came. Woo! From which it came. Your seeds will produce its fruit in its season. But every now and then, the containment must be cut at the bottom to let the roots go down. But cut it in the pattern of the cross. Because even at the very bottom of where you feel that your roots haven't gone, it'll go through the cross that brings life. And the thing that was once there to contain you is no longer containing you, but supporting you. So that when you finish the process, the very thing that started is the thing that sustains you at the time of birth. Then the process starts all over again. But because we cut the bottom out, now new plants have grown. Y'all missed that one. New plants. New church plants. Hey! What didn't take off before is about to take off. church plant because of the soil and the condition. Because the cross is not just at the top, it's also on the bottom to keep you. So you can stand on it. And it'll cause you to grow. Stand on your feet, please. The struggle for that one room, the struggle for one room was the containment. But I cut now at the very bottom of it to loose it so that we can have the roots to go deep and we can plant new. Fruitful in it. But the one thing that we started out with is the thing that maintains us during the transition. That's why that phone call to you that I've told you, what I need you to do right now in this season is that. And here we are now. Because the roots are about to expand. If I prophesy just to myself, leaders in this house have an understanding. The hardest thing we have is filling that room. But even God knows you can't put too much in it. I've got to uproot you. And I've got to plant you. We got new faces here. Oh, we got new faces. They got uprooted, but they got planted. Oh, watch this. Then we got familiar faces. Got uprooted to get planted. For some things that were once on, get broken off. Things were growing a little this way, needed to be trimmed off. Some things that hold on to the root that shouldn't be there. God has to shake it off. Grow to intertwine itself in the good roots. Their nutrients only come from the good roots. You gotta be careful when you pull out those weeds that you don't uproot the good roots. So it's best to uproot the whole thing. Shake that thing. Loose what needs to be loose. So that when you plant it, the thing that couldn't survive on the uprooting process is not going to thrive in the new soil. Y'all know I love plants. I love plants. I love my flowers. And they talk back to me. Now, some of y'all may know that my wife got some roses for Mother's Day. She got home, she cut off the stems, and put it in some special kind of water. Not just any water, not tap water. Because some water has contaminants. But this water had been purified. Cleansed. Stripped of those contaminants. Watch this. Anytime, it's not even dirt, this is just water. You still got to trim the stem. You got to cut it before you put it in water. The cutting process you can't eliminate. And watch this. Watch this. She put that thing in a little bud vase because she didn't have no flowers for at home. Shame on daddy. I know. Shame on daddy. I whoop myself, baby. I did. Whoop myself. I didn't get her no flowers. I love you. I'll get you flowers. Watch this. Watch this. Got convicted. These roses were put into this water that it made it bloom in a matter of minutes. That the blossom blossomed twice its size. Did it not? It's still alive today. Just as it was when she first put it in there. And the good water got in. Rivers of living water, not just any water. Now watch this water. Watch this. Watch this. Y'all don't know about this water. Been stripped of all the chemicals, right? Been purified. Anything that's stripped becomes distilled, which is dead water. That's not good for you. Don't drink distilled water because it's dead water. Only water that you won't get electrocuted in is distilled water because it's dead water. It doesn't take the charge. Now this particular water, because it's been purified, now nutrients were added back in, but nutrients that your body needs. Minerals that your body needs. That cause growth as opposed to death. What kind of water is that? I ain't gonna tell you. Just play. Y'all like. This alkaline water that we use, it rehydrates you. It's helped heal people from diabetes. It's helped people in so many different areas of their life. But yet there's a lot of controversy about it because people that don't understand it come against it. Sis. Kind of like anything that is good for you, people come against it. The gospel's good news, but people come against it because it's good news. But when it gets in there, it does what it was created to do. It's to cause growth and cause the roots to get stronger that produce the good fruit. Let it get in there. Let it get in there. Forsake not the assembly. Why? In prayer. And when you ask, in prayer together in agreement, guess what you get? The fruit. The fruit. Fruit. It's about to grow. It's about to grow. I didn't even get to the rest of this, but oh well. I'll tell you what. I heard it by the Holy Ghost that we are about to experience growth. Growth. Because we're coming out of that containment. My building will be white. It will be white. Big tree. Amen. Amen. Big tree. Say it again. It's old and it's deep. Big tree. Next to the white building. I know what's going to happen. I know what it is. Not just because I want a building, because he wants a building. He wants a building. He will do what he's called you to do. Because in that you're going to die. And you shall see the hand of God move. Signs and wonders. Signs and wonders. We have continually prayed for you, your precious children. But more importantly, I pray for your destiny. You're not going to miss. You'll see it's a fulfillment. And you're about to experience something in these next 2 weeks that you're going to be loosed. Loosed. Because it's necessary for your growth. I bless you. And everything that entered into these ear gates, in the name of Jesus, that were not of you, cancel their very plans. And I speak the good things. Destiny. Dynasty. And I thank you right now, Father God, the fruitfulness and the means right now, Father, that are necessary for transition and to be transplanted. Father, I thank you right now in Jesus' mighty name. I thank you for strength. And I thank you for total restoration and healing. In Jesus' mighty name. Father, I even thank you right now for an increase. An increase of joy, God. Laughter. And more importantly, time that has been lost is being restored. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Oh, you're worthy, Daddy, you're worthy. Woo. I prophesied to myself over this building. I did. You had to come here tonight. It brought me focus. Some of your faces that I haven't seen in a while, and I thank God that I'm able to see them. It's to give me hope again. For what we labor for is the harvest of souls, the manifestation of his kingdom here on earth, and the restoration of his bride into its position. And it's so beautiful to see the faces that I see here. And I thank you. But more importantly, he, God Almighty, thanks you. Because you could have chosen not to come, but you chose to come. If he has planted you in this house, in this house, you're going to be challenged. You're going to be shook. But you're about to grow. Because it's the shepherd that leads you to greener pastures, cleaner water. And what he does is teaches you the things of God. He says this, my sheep know my voice. If you hear your daddy speaking here, this is your house. I hear my daddy speaking to me loud and clear. I guess this is my church, right, God? Be encouraged. Be encouraged. God has taken you out of containment, and he's loosing you into the very soil of the kingdom. Amen. Hallelujah. Elders getting ready to pass out envelopes here for your tithe and your offering. Guys, we had a wonderful time at the lake on Saturday. You see, some of us are burnt, some of us are peeling. Wonderful time. You know that we had 8 baptisms out at the lake? 8. Our new beginning. 8 baptisms. Then, not only that, my wife was reminding me that people were trying to come in to do, because we were right there at the, like what we call the boat ramp, and people were standing there to wait to get into the lake where we were at doing the baptisms, and they waited till we were finished. When you do the things of God, wherever you do them, people will take notice. We had a wonderful time out there. I haven't eaten so much watermelon and watermelon seeds. I felt, and it wasn't so sweet and good. And it was, you know, we put it in an ice chest with ice, so when you cut it, it was so cold. It was so good. I had to eat so many of them. Oh, Lord. And then we had food galore, didn't we not? And you thought we were at a restaurant with a buffet. So much food. And we were all together under this one little thing. That was our upper room. We were gathered in a place. Happened to be the place that overlooks the water. Good times. We shall do it again. Amen. Those that went out there, did you enjoy it? Did you have a good time? We're going to do it again? Yeah. Water shoes and sunscreen. Stay in the shade. Oh, man, it was so much fun. That was supposed to be our iron sharpens iron gathering. Well, I think the sharpening took place in the fellowship. That's what took place. We had a great time. We enjoyed it. There was fellowship and there was growth. And it was such a blessing. So we're going to plan another one so we can go out there. And it was close by. Close by. From this front door to there, I think it was 20 minutes, 25 minutes. About 20 minutes, just to get, depending on how you drive. Some people will drive fast. 10 minutes. But we had a real good time. We'll set it up again so we can do it. Come on out and bring sunscreen. Sunscreen. Amen. Yeah, you need water shoes. But we had a wonderful time, and I look forward to more fellowship with you guys. I did speak with Papa Louis today. He just got back from Africa. He came in yesterday. They're in Houston right now. They're driving. Actually, this morning they were, and then they were driving back to Granbury where they live. The house that they were renting sold while he was gone. So they have to move out before June. So that's what they're going to do right now. June 15th, he will be here. He'll be here June 15th.